Now we're commencing tonight with a very important subject. I've been in this country now for 46 years, and I've never heard in all my travels an address on the believer's preacher. And I felt greatly burdened this last number of months about this theme. And I'm glad to see it out coming out of the local. A bad night, Tuesday night, because of so many assemblies of our own meetings. I'm delighted to see you tonight. Now, we're going to have a good deal of reading in these meetings, because it is necessary for me to have the Word of God to establish every point that we make. Now, we'll start our reading, please, in the book of Exodus, and at chapter 19. The 19th chapter of Exodus. Now, what I intend to do tonight, chiefly, is to deal with the title to the preacher. The title to the preacher. So that will be our theme. Now, the 19th chapter of Exodus, I'm reading at verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you in eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Now notice this, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now from further along this book to the 29th chapter. Chapter 29. And at verse 1. And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them. That is, of course, Aaron and his sons, as you shall see, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Down to verse 4 now. And Aaron and his sons, thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. Now I want you to pay particular attention to that verse. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. Let them down, please, to verse 9. Verse 9. We are reading in Exodus chapter 29. Exodus 29 and at verse 9. And thou shalt give them, Aaron and his son, thou shalt give them with girdle, Aaron and his son, and put the bonnet on them, and the priest's office shall be there for a perpetual statute, and thou shalt consecrate. Now, I don't know whether you've an Oxford Bible or not, but the proper meaning is in the margin here. Thou shalt fill the hand of Aaron and his son. That's what the meaning of the word is, consecration. It means to fill the hand. Now, I want you to come over to the end of the chapter almost, at verse 43. Referring to the tabernacle, the Lord says, And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both him and his son to minister to me in the priest's office. Now I want you to keep these words in mind. Verse 1, it is hallow them. Verse 9, it is consecrate them. Verse 44, it is sanctify them. Now we'll come over to the New Testament, to the first epistle of Peter. The first epistle of Peter. And chapter 1. And we shall read now from verse 22. 1 Peter 1 and 22. Seeing we have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unstained love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now chapter 2 and verse 2. At newborn day, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So that will suffice for our reading just at the moment. In dealing with the subject of scripture, it is going to be made very clear to us tonight the tremendous error into which Christendom dropped as far back as the second century of church history. When we reach that time in the history of the New Testament church, there came a special kind of class of men into the so-called church that had to be registered as the leader of the company. Such a man came by education and ordination to be a member of this special class, recognized as the clergy of that day. So the Church of God now is split into two sections. There we find the clergy ruling over the laity. And so we have that sad division that has gone on right through the ages. And Christendom today is full of it on every hand and side. What we're going to establish from the scriptures tonight is this, that God recognizes no such division in the church of the New Testament. Now, I want to say, first of all, for the sake of those who are younger and inexperienced, we have to remember this according to New Testament teaching, that every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is a priest. Every believer. Now, if you have your Bible still open at chapter 2 of 1 Peter, will you please just look again at verse 4, if you please. Verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Now, please note. He also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. Now, the difference between the priest and the priesthood is just this. When we speak of the believer as a priest, we think of him acting alone before his God. When we think of a priesthood in exercise, we think it may be of a company of people together, acting as a holy priesthood, priests together. And then, of course, the priesthood covering every believer from the day of Pentecost to the rapture. Every born again soul is a priest. Now, the first point I have to establish, because you see, here's where the difficulty comes in with the kingdom. What they did because not taught by the Spirit, they lifted the priesthood of the Old Testament and started to try to lift it, polish, polish, right into the New Dispensation. That's why that even today, the clergy is recognized by their peculiar dress and by their degree. They're looked upon as that class that's over the way. Now all that came, of course, from Rome, as far as we are concerned. And we should be plain in our speech and recognize it and speak of it in a way that is not according to the book that should be. That there should be anyone in the companies of God's people that should take such a place. God has given the honor of priesthood to every believer in Christ. When I was led to the Savior 58 and a half years ago, I believe that night that I was up on the 9th stair before the bed and put my head down on the bed cover and thank God that I would never be in hell. I believe that was about my first priestly act. And bless God, it went right up yonder. I would encourage young believers, I'll say more of this in the course of the meeting, but sometimes when we're gathered together as a sister, young believers are afraid to stand up. They think they're not intelligent enough. And they're not spiritually taught as well as they should. So it's a thing that works in the proper way. Now I know all about that fear in my early Christian life. But I want to encourage you tonight. And let me remind you of what was just been saying regarding the Lord Jesus. I remember the day John Knox was here. I was the last to take around this country in itinerary. Great man. One night coming up for a meeting, 2 miles from where I was born and reared. And the young fellow for the first time engaged in prayer. And when we were going out the entry, John was just behind two very talkative sisters, just in front of him. And he had a sort of rubber toes and heels in his shoes, and they were not aware that there was anyone just for me. To the one to the other, was not an office prayer that's going over the next. Was not an office prayer that's going over the next. And the student sits one of the sisters on the shoulder. He said, Sister, that prayer, when it reached the ear of God, would be in the revised verses. To all our prayers and praises, Christ has his sweet perfume. Long the sense of raising the odors of the sea. And I'm looking down tonight into the face of a country of God's priests. Now, the first thing I deal with tonight is the title. The title of a priesthood, and it's that. Now here the type comes for the Antichrist. In the Old Testament, when the priesthood was ordained, first of all, from the 19th chapter of Exodus we have read, it was the divine intention to make the nation of Israel a nation of priests. But you know, we've only got to go to the 32nd chapter of Exodus to see that very nation, having already broken the command of God, and was dancing round the golden calf. You recall, if you read your Bible at all on that occasion, Moses said, "Truth of the Lord time, and Levi stepped aside. No thought for father, mother, brother, sister. Anyone that has been guilty of it, the truth of blame for the glory of God." And that day there was one But when the blessed God now was giving orders regarding the tabernacle, you will notice that he begins at chapter 25, and he continues to chapter 27, and then he breaks. There are yet two vessels to be mentioned. There should be the golden altar that stood in the holy place just before the veil, and the brazen laver that stood out in the court just before the veil. Now these were not mentioned till the 30th chapter. The 28th and 29th chapter are occupied with the introduction of the priesthood. Now that is significant for this reason. Where shall I say in another volume? To mention the priestly vessels where they had to function so continuously. Until, first of all, instructions are given to Moses regarding the consecration of the priest. So now chapter 28 and 29 are the chapters that get to us the story of the consecration of the priest. Now, in chapter 29 and verse 4, we are told there Moses was instructed to take Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle. Right to the labor. We have to keep them. They have nothing to do here at the moment. But right to the labor. What for? To the day all over. Now this is very significant. I tell you why. This baby was never again repeated. When the king called Aaron and his sons, they were saved all over. What? Now, when I think about Aaron and his sons, of course, surely I'm struck with this. But in that day, no one was allowed into that little realm of priesthood except they were born into it. Aaron and his sons, they had to have had the day of their birth into the priesthood. Isn't that the New Testament teaching? The blessed Lord in John chapter 21, when he was instructing Peter and questioning him about his love. You recall how he told him, now after the three affirmations that he did in love to him. Well, if you will feed my lamb, and then sit with my feet. And it is remarkable that that's the subject that seems to be uppermost in the teaching of Peter's epistle, especially the first, as we can see going through our lips. So now we have here in 1 Peter 1 and 23, the titles of the priesthood, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now we all begin here. And you all go back now when I speak to you, over these precious years, to that happy moment in your experience, when you entered, shall I say, into God's priesthood. And you entered there the moment you breathed divine life. Ah, what a lovely thought that is. You see, dear brothers and sisters, I hope you understand. That is what happened when the truth of God was revived in the early 18th century, down in the south of Ireland and in the south of England. With a result, they find men who were in Christendom. And they were sitting on the Lord's Day morning amongst the unconverted. And they began to see the teaching of the Book of God being all equally yoked together with unbelievers. And God began to unveil to them the truth that he is introducing tonight. And so, we are told with this in a short time, a little music. All the Jews were gathered together in the city of Dublin. And what was recognized was this, that everyone that sat there was born again. They were all priests. It wasn't very big, but the whole thing. And I trust that to my learning. I may not have understood it so well, but I was a boy of 16, the first time I came in. But there was something about it that did convince me that this was the thing. For every brother and sister that sat there, you were born again. There's the life of God in them. And yet then you have kept separate from the unconverted. All of you get back to the foundation truth that I was under. You hardly ever knew. So the title is right. And we're going to ask ourselves a question tonight to begin with, am I really born again? So you can think of that one. It might not be so elementary as you think. And I'm going to ask you tonight to come over to the man that gave you that thing, just a few pages over to the first epistle of John. And if we shall come with me to the scriptures and read them every one as I read them. 1 John 3 and chapter 2. And we're going to find the first fruit of a real born again soul. Now, at verse 29. We'll just read verse 28 to show that thou were in the family. And now, little children, abide in him, and when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming now. If you know that he is Christ, is right. That's how chapter 2 begins, as you know, Jesus Christ the righteous. We know that he, if we know that he is righteous, we know that everyone that too is, righteousness is born of him. Now I'm going to ask the young uninstructed Christians to get a hold of this word in the Epistle of John, the little words that end in the E-C-O. We know that everyone that too is, righteousness is born of him. That is, a genuine born again Christian is one that practices righteousness in his life. A life of practical righteousness. Mind you, for the good for every one of us, there is an X-ray in upon our own private lives and see if this is one of the marks that we are really in the priesthood, that we're born again, that our lives are absolutely right. Oh, this is imputed righteousness. That's the teaching of Romans 3. Right on to Romans 8, gives us a new text. That's what this is. This is practical righteousness. That's what's seen in the 19th chapter of Revelation, when the bridegroom stands before the bridegroom in that happy, sexual day and the glory. It was granted to her to be clothed in linen, clean and white. It was granted to her. That expresses the thought, she asked for it. She asked for it. It was granted to her to be clothed with linen, clean and white, which is the righteous message of the faith. What does it mean? It just means what William Hagen said years ago, when he was finishing with me, I suppose 50 years ago, in Belfast, talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb on the dress of the bride. And just as this, my dear brethren, it's just exactly what we read down here. It's what we read down here. It's the way up there. What is it? A life of practical righteousness. That is my life, straight up and down. And the world looks at me and can recognize me as a man of sterling character. My life is not only about practical righteousness, that's one of the things. Born into God's family, and it is a title. Now come to the again. Chapter 3 this time. Chapter 3. Now, we should go down to verse 7. And this back home that I will see. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that do is righteousness is righteousness. Even as Christ is righteous. He that committeth sin, no, not the easy way. He that committeth sin is of the dead. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. That is, sins and continues to sin. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And now who do believe him? Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For if he remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now here's the second truth of John's book. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Now I will confess to you for years I struggled over this passage in my young Christian life. But I am fully convinced that the Lord has opened up my eyes to see the truth of it. As year by year I have plowed through the pages of this beautiful little chapter. And what is trying to convey to us is this from the whole list of the context. One thing that a born-again soul can't do is they can't live in sin. That's what it means. There's not a believer sitting in the meeting, dear friends, but knows what it is to sin against God. And if you're anything like a preacher, I've had the chance to go alone I get down on the very floor and confess my sin to God. Thank God, that's not a devil in the lake. And the child of God sins in the sense of conscience. And it breaks their heart. I remember he was saying, Brother Kelly, one of the dear men out there that was down the stairs with a godly man, a great business man. The individual in this day, this day again, I won't mention his name. They found him crying. Oh, he said, what has happened to you? And you sit and yell and you say, what? No, he said. You know what he said? He sat down and brought him up to rest this morning. And he was crying to God. I watched a living man protected from going to heaven. Some time ago in the city of Mustafa, from the barrels of mules, here for all men. Never close an eye! But you, I never really missed something. Only by a very simple thing. Now listen to me about that, and you forget it. You have to learn to read it. One Friday, the boss said to me, he's in the assembly. He said, what status in the pit you sat there today, the guy did. I will say, what do you want to do? Well, I said, you're an Air Force drop. Well, if the two men can open it up, and the pit of the idol, and you've a chance, I thought you'd like to come on your behalf of this. I already. So I hear you said to me. And I mentioned the wicked, fine, blaspheming man of the past, you by heart. Man that I was afraid of. Really afraid of him. I never preached to him in my life. I was afraid of him. But the same thing was for weeks before, and I didn't know it. That man had been watching my life. Yes, righteousness. Recognizing it, take up and down life before his master in his service. Other men slacking it when the boss wasn't there. All of these things that his master did. Barney used to flip up through the screen, accusing us of being cast. You know, I'm not feeling well then. Right at some of it. Bad pudding. Have you ever tried to clean Phillips for you? And then it was all in the enemy, you know. That wasn't his trouble at all. My, when I went to work in that section, I got a horse called Dining. A pony. A set pony called Dining. And if ever God created a stubborn beast, it was Dining. The driver used to say to me, baby, where are you going to go? Right then, you're trying to fight this man. When you're going to land, you're going to see it. You're going to go to me. It's a fall. I left to see you again when I stood behind the hut. It's a fall that stuck. And the boy was stuck down, you couldn't get past him, you couldn't get over the dock to him. And whenever I got in touch with him, back in the next street, and all of a sudden, not a minute, I saw a deal with my aunt Philip. Danny! See ya! Go! Go on, get back in! Boy, every morning here, I sat down and I asked, well, I can do this, but I need all the dead men. Don't have to leave all this time. I'm going to go to the back. 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 I'm going That was the name of Captain Anderson. But those minds, thank God for his mother, so much more. Because the Lord took me off the bottom.
Have an open mind, the big keys around down by the ship.
So this can't be. And so the hand of God for me. Tomorrow night. By 7 o'clock. Down the road.
What? My name is? That blasting? Everything was so much bad by me, Lord. I wouldn't describe you like this.
May I stop it from the night and make me stop shipping? Make me go. Stop that, that is not true. Amen, brother.
Bobby never swore again. Never. Didn't go back to see Delta Hopalania again and said, go on to hell, go on to hell.
It's all over. Go back to hell. There's you to look at the sun that comes from the morning and then went back to the village. My music did a cut with my firing money, battling with the limit. The sun was there. And it's better to decide what to do in the house. After living a life that's been a long time. What do I tell you? Don't you see, my dear young friend on the meeting, you're such a fine seer. If I bring you a piece of God, and I've been born into God's family, as Aaron's sons were born into his family, to the my dear young friend on the meeting, you're such a fine seer. If I bring you a piece of gold, and I've been born into God's family, as Aaron's sons were born into his family, to the priest, I've been born into God's family, and that's my title to the priesthood. And as such, I live a righteous life, straight up and down, and I don't practice sin. The man that can practice sin never was born again. Man who is born again, a woman that's born again, and has conquered in anything, it will break her heart from the heart. So that's why there's something extra with you today. The chapter 4. Chapter 4. And the read now at verse 6. Fear of God, he that knoweth God, hear of us. See that he's not of God, hear it. We must be seen to his partner, his truth. To hear and continue to hear. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth, loves and continues to love his brother, is born of God, and knoweth. Yes, he knows that he's seen it. Life is never characterized by the truth. That is spoken of in Romans chapter 5. He has shared the love of God abroad in our hearts. And that evident and manifest and displayed and exhibited in the life of God. Born of God. Now this is not merely a head knowledge that's here. It's a full acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is Lord. The foundation of the conception. There were those who did not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came really in flesh. And those that didn't were called Antichrist. For the genuine born again soul is this one. Whosoever that believes and continues to believe that Jesus is the Christ. What is it? I'm not saying that. Set in for Exodus. Put those things down. And what is the term of that here? By this we know that we love the children of God. That's what we're back to. When we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not hindered. For whatsoever is born of God overcome the world. And this is the victory overcome the world, even our faith. Now here is the born again soul. It's back to the righteousness. He doesn't practice sin. He loves his brethren. He believes that he is in the Christ. And now here is Sinai overcoming the world. Born again, overcoming the world. I think the people of God need this today. I'm not even born again. What if two young people overcoming the world? Until you are led on this program, tell the right things. You are still on the road to the celestial side. And if you can get there, you're not going to be on the road. You just have to believe. But there's one thing that makes you different from this. You are going to be on the road. I had what they saw. They just recognized that they were David and there was no one above. Well, they knew that. Some of them, a unit back in the world, in their home. See the children anyhow, vanity of fear. And there was only they were all talking together. The business struggles went on. And their eyes were all on the field. And as I looked at them, not only did they start to talk to one another, but they expressed an opinion about them. And one was thinking, you know, they're not blessed the same as we are in the fair. My breath and one is good, it's all green, but it's all good. 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 I don't want to go through this enough, and I have to see why you want to do it. Something about the kind of God that really born again. Something about him. He doesn't want to be only back in the passage of 100 years ago. Neither does he want to be where the crowds are coming today. Those young men and young women, and you know the very look of them, let his hands of heaven.
Something about the kind of God and rules of business and different environments.
And more than that, there's a spirit of it. And the thing that, of course, has been certain was, they don't seem to have any interest in the things of affairs. They have no interest in the ways of affairs. Because that's what I have. This is the whole of it. This is the language of the lip, and I'm speaking of the brain of it. But in a brain of the brain, the brain is from a step on the third of thank God I have got now all these years in, and if some certain minutes get more than me in, once can I thank God. Something I've been waiting to do. Thank you. Now maybe that will do it for that. If I am a priest, I am a priest because I'm born into God's family. And I'm sure I'm in the family because in my life I practice righteousness. And I cannot practice sin. I should do it if it breaks my heart to sin and sin and sin. And I believe it is whatever is born again at all. And thank God I love my brethren. I do, every child of God, it matters not where we go. I love them because we belong. We all belong to one family. We all belong to one family.
The battle of regeneration. Then it's all over.
Never to the people.
Corruptible food, but of incorruptible. That's what it is.